And welcome to Geekers Creepers. This is the podcast where we talk about the geeky side of life and we talk about the creepy side of life. This is one of our special episodes, and it is regarding the very last episode of season one of The Last of Us. I am your host, Rob, and I am joined by my other two hosts. We have Eddie Spaghetti. How's it going, Eddie?
Doing well, doing well.
And we are also joined by Kelly Kapowski. How's it going, Kelly?
Doing great. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the breakdown of the last episode here today.
The very last one of the last one. So what did you guys think of the twist? It was all a dream. Is that crazy?
And lies.
All right. So for our listeners, real quick, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the show pretty much from the start on to the end. We're going to talk about what we thought about certain parts, if we liked them, didn't like them, et cetera. We come at this from two different viewpoints. Eddie and Kelly have never played the game. They're coming this with this fresh eyes. I've actually played the game, I think, twice or three times, and I know it from the video game side. And then at the very end, we give it our ratings. And I think at this one, if you guys don't mind, maybe we'll also give one final rating what we thought about the season. Okay. So with that said, I don't know. Do you guys know the name of this episode, what it was called?
Yeah. Look for the Light.
Look for the Light. Yes. Okay. So Look for the Light. It is episode 9 of the first season of The Last of Us. And the one thing I noticed was when I started watching this is this would kind of revert it back to the original episodes in that we didn't automatically start with the title credits. It actually went into a scene at the very beginning, which we see this lady running in the woods. Looks like she's running away from a clicker or one of the infected, gets into one of the houses, locks herself in. It's a pregnant lady. Do you guys happen to know who it was that played this character?
I read that it was Ashley Johnson, and she is the lady that played Ellie in
She's the original Ellie.
The original Ellie.
Mm-hmm. So I believe the original Ellie, they used when they for the character design, they used partly her face and partly I want to say, I guess it's Elliot Page now, at part of his face at that time. But yeah, they used the two of them and they created the character, but it is her voice. It is Ashley Johnson's voice, also known as, I forgot her name. What's Chrissy from Growing Pains, the youngest daughter?
Yes, correct.
So I think, I don't know if I mentioned this. I think I might have told Ed, but Kelly, this is I think it was season one or season two with a mutual friend of ours, you know, remain nameless, but we were watching it and she mentioned something. She's like, she's watching this episode and the girl who plays Ellie, what is her name? The girl, the actress?
Bella Ramsey?
Bella Ramsey. My friend, she's like, she's watching. She's like, you know who that actress reminds me of? It's like, she sounds and looks like the character that played Chrissy Seaver from Growing Pains without ever knowing that, you know, it was the, that's who it actually is based on. I was like, wow, that is crazy. But so we've got the scene where she's pregnant and she ends up, turns out her name is Anna. She is Ellie's mom. And right before she gives birth to Ellie, she gets bit. They gives birth to Ellie, and I guess that's why we're supposed to assume that's how Ellie is now immune to the infection. Which I'll say this was not in the video game. This is all new. This was never included in there. So starting with that, Kelly, let me ask you, what did you think of the scene starting out?
So when I first saw her, I obviously did not know who the lady was, but I immediately thought she looked like Ellie. So I thought they did a really good job of casting, just like lookalikes, you know, like women who look like each other. And I was like, wow, that actually like really looks like her, even though I know she's not related to her. So it was just kind of funny. And then I also love the part where like she, her water breaks and then she immediately has the baby, like as she's stabbing the Claire in the neck. And it's very Ellie-esque. It's very, like, I don't know. There's no like frilliness about it. It was very much like survival, like no weakness that she obviously gets like from her mom.
And she does stab that walker with the knife, the same knife that I think she gives hands over to Ellie. But Eddie, what did you think about this scene starting out?
Well, it was a couple things that stuck out was, I'm like this, yeah, this mother's a real warrior. Mm-hmm. She gives birth, in the midst of, getting attacked by an infected person. What stuck out was, Kelly just said it. Like, I'm like, yeah, this looks like this, that seems like it's Ellie. And I'm like, oh, this, and I was just thinking, I'm like, this might be the birth of Ellie that we're going to witness right here. But then, another thing that stuck out was the infected, I guess maybe you could just bring a little insight into this, Rob. The infected were knew how to like open doors or figured out an alternative way into the place or
all
whatever.
Right. I'm happy you brought that up. I made a note here. Okay. I'm like, this walker, or I called it a walker, I meant the infected, is really intent on getting Ellie's mom. And I made a note of this because you never notice that anywhere in the show. And in the game itself, they're not that intelligent. I think it's, you know, they did it for the sake of creating this plot point, which I'll be honest, I don't know if I'm a big fan of, mainly because in the game, you never really know why Ellie is immune. It might have just been just like, you know, she was just born that way, which makes, you know, it does make her a little bit more special, because now if you know how it happens and it's like, well, maybe it can happen to anyone else. You know, does she really need to be thought of as the one that's going to save humanity? But.
Well, it felt like it was like maybe a little bit symbolic or reticent of like a prodigal birth almost, like a Moses, Moses being, you know, basically delivered, you know, in order to, you know, lead, save humanity type thing. So I was just like, her birth is like a, you know, it's like anything. It's like a birth that defies all odds. So, I mean, where do we see this? We see this all over the place, I guess. Maybe biblically or even in a whole bunch of other, you know, cultures and stuff like that. So no, I was just like...
I agree. I think that's one of the reasons why they showed it this way. They were trying to create a a myth behind the birth of Ellie. I agree.
So when she's running through the woods and she gets to the house, she's like... She's struggling to get in, and then she gets in. And she said, "Guys, I'm here." Like, she is familiar with this house. It's not some random house that she expects other people to be there. And then we find out that it's a Firefly's house, and so her mom was part of the Fireflies.
Correct.
Yeah, I think I believe doesn't Marlene mention this earlier, where she says that she knew her mom.
Well. I think she knew her mom, but so basically it cuts to the rescue team, the Firefly rescue team that we assumed she was trying to meet was, you know, came in super late, and they said, you know, they have a discussion, and they're like, you know, we've been friends. They tell each other, she tells her, "You've been my friend since childhood," type thing. So you realize that these guys have Marlene and the mother have a long history, obviously.
I thought Marlene mentioned this to Ellie like in the first or second episode or the first episode.
I'm not remembering.
She doesn't?
I don't remember.
If she did, it was very brief. Okay. I don't recall it. But this part with Marlene at the end of this scene where the mom is asking her to kill her. She's like, just shoot me, you know. She's like, I could never, and they walk out. And you think they're just going to like leave her there. And it's just brutal that she turns around and just executes her.
Yeah. What did she say? Cover the baby's ears.
Yeah.
And they just goes in there. I'm just like, man, Marlene, that's cold blooded. But I think they do. I think they make that point.
What I thought was actually interesting though, at that point, because I think the mother, she was kind of smart. She said she gave birth to her before she cut the umbilical cord, mm-hmm. which is actually not true.
Mm-hmm.
It must have not been true because, you know, obviously Ellie appears to have gotten all this this natural immunity via, you know, just barely getting it as a baby. So long story short, it was the mother was had her story together in order to save Ellie's life. But anyways, go ahead.
And I think as far as like what Kelly mentioned, the fact that she goes back and shoots her and is kind of cold blooded, I think they made a point to present her that way because it's gonna come back at the very end. You know, Marlene is about getting things done for the Fireflies. You know, she's business first, emotion later, as opposed to Joel is. And I'll get to this later. He's one of the worst smugglers ever. He's business, you know, he's personal first and business later. Because with Marlene is willing to, you know, make sure that Ellie's safe until Ellie becomes something that's going to be necessary for humanity. Then it's like, without a blink of an eye, she's like, she's going to die for all of humanity. Much like Anna, you know, her best friend since they were a child, you know, took her out right away. Joel, on the other hand, wouldn't have done it. Joel would have been too emotional and probably would have tried to do something to keep her alive if he could, because that's just how he is. So I think this is a good way to show that Marlene is, you know, she's cruel, but, you know, she does it for the sake of the Fireflies or for her organization. All right. So where are we at here?
That's the end of the flashback.
Mm-hmm.
So then we are in where Joel and Ellie, and he's asking her a lot of questions, and she's kind of like deep in thought. He's like asking her about Boggle and learning how to play the guitar.
About Chef Boyardee.
Yeah, he's just like chatting.
Well, this is, it's always been Ellie being the chatty one, mm-hmm. like, and Joel just giving kind of like, it's like they finally reversed roles.
I think we were writing the same notes because that's exactly what I was thinking too. I felt like this is more like now a father daughter relationship than before, because you know you've got like dads who are now trying to keep the daughter happy, and you've got like that angsty teenage daughter who doesn't want to talk. As opposed to the entire time, it seemed like it was just it seemed the opposite. And now I feel like Joel's really putting in a lot of effort to keep her happy. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, so that's what I immediately noticed was the shift in the dynamic mm-hmm. between the two, was that like the reversal with the chattiness. But something happens. They're like running through this building. She's like, now she's amped. I don't know. She's just like running around. She's like, follow me.
Oh, real quick, before we get to that, there's a part where he gives her a boost up so she could take down the ladder.
Yeah.
Okay. From the video game. That happens all the time in the video games. You're always giving Ellie a boost up somewhere, and you're like, "Give me the ladder," and she always drops it down for you. So I just want to throw a shout out because that was definitely from the game. But go ahead.
Yes, and he did say boost up, which was a very like specific way to word it. But she gets up there and drops the ladder, and then just runs away. And he's like, "Wait, I still need the ladder," and he like gets it somehow.
Yeah.
And then they run out to the ledge, and she finds a giraffe.
Mm-hmm.
It is like eating a tree up by this hole in the building. It was probably like one of my favorite scenes of the show so far. I love
that is one of the most famous scenes in the video game. Also, there's that part where you're like, you've pretty much played the entire game. You know, you've done all the stuff, and all of a sudden it breaks down to it's almost the exact same scene with the giraffe. And you're just like, wow. And you also have to remember this game when it first came out, it was probably one of the best looking video games at the time. So you're sitting there watching this scene like it's in a movie. And yeah, I got emotional. Kind of, I felt like I was playing the game for the first time. I'm like, oh, this is cool.
It was just like, it made me think about how like destroyed everything was and how everything was just like wild again, because mm-hmm. the world had been over, you know, for so long. The giraffes are just like walking around.
So this is something I thought about when I was watching this scene, something I didn't think about beforehand. But they're in Salt Lake City, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it get really cold in Salt Lake City?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering,
well,
like, how are
they had Winter Olympics out there. Yeah. So I'm assuming
how
they
are the
had nothing.
Giraffes? How are the giraffes alive and just walking around over 20 years? Shouldn't they all be kind of,
well,
look, I know it's a.
Isn't that close to Nevada? Like, Utah is next to Nevada, which is a desert.
But maybe.
So I think it just depends on where.
I was, as you can tell, geography was not my strong point. But,
well,
but yes, go ahead, Ed.
I'm assuming, they have free range. So, I mean, if giraffes want to go somewhere warmer, they can, but
that's true. Good point. Point Ed. All right. That's an episode. You take notes. He actually makes some points.
there aren't any park rangers to corral them, or I don't think there's a huge poaching industry out there for.
It was just like the beauty and the disaster.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we get a good scene here with Joel talking to Ellie, and at this point, Joel is telling her that, you know, does she want to go through with this? Does he say that we could, you know, we could go back? Go back to the what is it, back to Wyoming with Tommy and them?
Yeah.
And I think you know, she's like, now she's the one that wants to finish this off and just says, no, you know, it would have been all for nothing. We have to finish what we started. Again, it's also from the video game, but you do get to see Joel here starting to really, really not want to lose his surrogate daughter. What did you guys think of this scene here?
So this is the part where it planted the seed that maybe the hospital isn't the best place, mm-hmm. because he's like, what if it isn't what we think it is? He's like, he has this doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first point where I was like, wow, what if the hospital isn't what they expect, you know, mm-hmm. which then, you know, later becomes mm-hmm. a bigger deal.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting because like, maybe we were thinking, I was thinking, I'm like Ellie is still like kind of traumatized from, the previous episode, mm-hmm. with whatever, you know, everything that went down. But what it seemed like was Ellie was just, you know, finally it's like things are finally real now. Like, you know, they finally got to the end of this thing. And it was just interesting because Joel has been treating this whole situation like, you know, this is a job. I'm going to get paid. He's like, he's basically Han Solo in Star Wars, but now he's, you know, now he's daddy. And,
Now he's Han yeah. Solo from Star Wars. Okay, so yeah. I think we had this conversation at one of the other one of our other podcasts, Ed. I don't know if Kelly was in on it, but how smugglers that are portrayed in TV, they're always got that heart of gold. Joel is an awful, awful smuggler. His job was to get Ellie over to the place and drop her off. That's his job. His job. Yeah. The man is. And we'll get to this, but I always have viewed Joel as a selfish, he's a bad smuggler, a selfish person, and just in it for himself, no matter what. He's not the good guy. Joel is a bad guy the entire time. And we'll talk about this more at the end. But right here where he's telling her, he's like, hey, look, if you want, we'll go back to Tommy. No, Joel, you've got a job to do. Do you remember? You're supposed to get a battery. That was the deal. You know, you're going back on your deal. You know, this is you in the game. It was even more important because he had guns to pick up because he was a gun smuggler. That was a whole purpose.
Mm.
You know?
Okay. Yeah, but it was just all right. But basically, it's kind of like here's the flip. Yeah, mm-hmm. Here's a true twist, like a 180, because now Ellie's the one that's like, no, this is my mission. This is what we're here to do. This is why we went through Hellfire, and now it's time for us to finish this off. But it was so interesting. You know, Joel is just basically like. Basically, left it in her hands, mm-hmm. and this has always kind of just been Joel's mission. Now Joel is just like, you know what, you can do this yourself. But now mm-hmm. we see Ellie finding meaning in what she's about to do. So what I felt was like, I'm like, no, it's not, maybe not so much that she's traumatized from what like what they've been going through, but now it's like, now the decision is real and she's there and this could be the end or, but you finally realize like what we've been talking about this whole time, they're finally a father-daughter type relationship.
Okay,
yeah,
so then,
this
go
is
ahead.
A scene where in the end I come back to this. So it's like she says, no, let's do what we came here to do, let's finish this, right? Mm-hmm. Like she makes a decision. He gives her an out.
Correct.
He said, we can turn back and go and be safe and we could just forget all this. And she said, no. And so at the end of that, of this episode, I come back to this scene and I'm just like really torn on how I feel about how it ends.
And we'll definitely get to that. And,
just before at the scene, she Ellie basically says, you know, let's get this done. But wherever you go, I want to be there. Like, so it was just like, you're like, oh God, I'm like, you know, like this just began. So like, you know, like what's going to go, and all I could think of was like, something's going to happen now. And just, and I'm like, oh God. And well, even Rob, I think you warned me, you're going to be like, this is going to be controversial. So I was just like, I'm like, oh, all right. I'm prepared. I guess I was prepared, but I'm like, oh God, this is too perfect right now. Like, I'm like, I'm pretty sure they're not going to end it where Joel's just going to be like, eh, no, let's go back to time.
The two of them playing catch on the out of the field.
Catch. Yeah. No, it was, but I think that's just kind of important because Ellie basically is. She's opened up to Joel saying, no matter what, I think we should be together. And I thought that's really important, you know, and what happens later too. So anyways.
So they keep walking and they end up at the broken down. Was it the army? What used to be the army holding area for to help out people. And that's where Joel tells her that he finally comes out and says like where he got the scar from. That he tried to kill himself after his daughter died. And he's like, he missed and that's how he got the scar. Also new to the show. And then he also has a talk with Ellie, which was, you know, you talk about your heartfelt conversations. He brings up, like, I think Ellie says something, well, time heals all wounds. And he looks at her, he's like, it wasn't time. You know, no, it wasn't. It was Ellie. Ellie was the one that helped heal the wound for, you know, because he's now, you know, he's now not, you know, he's kind of not replaced, but instead of just always thinking about Sarah, he has Ellie now to protect. But go ahead, Ed, you were going to say something?
Well, no, there was a lot of, it was an interesting point because there was, what I put in quotes, lots of unsaid dialogue because like what you said, you know, Joel didn't even like say anything. He goes, it wasn't time. It's not about time. Mm-hmm. No, it's just, you have to wait for, it's not just time. It's waiting for, things to make you feel like you should be doing, to bring meaning into your life. Yeah, so I just like, yeah.
It was weird because Joel's been so tough the entire time. And like this episode, he's all emotional. That was to the point where I'm like, dude, you really are taking it to the next level. Like, you know, like I thought he was going to start like literally crying at one point. But yeah, he becomes super emotional. What'd you think about these scenes, Kelly?
I was confused when he said, she's like, well, time heals all wounds, you know, to get over stuff. And he's like, that isn't what did it. And I was just like, I don't get it. What do you mean? I was like, what did it then? I was so confused.
Well, we explained it. It's that time. It was Ellie that healed his wounds.
But is that really, or was it just a reminder that like things in life are possible after Sarah's death? You know what I mean?
So like, the way, I don't know how you looked at it, Ed, but the way I looked at it was, it wasn't time. because he could, if he had never met Ellie, he still would have been stuck on Sarah. It was a fact that he met Ellie, who not replaced, but you know, who is now like the person he's going to protect, and that's who healed his wound. Because soon after that, he's always talking about Sarah. He feels free and willing to talk about her, as opposed to previously he never could in front of anyone. I don't know. How did you take it, Ed?
Yeah, no, that's exactly how I felt like about that that particular scene, or you know, that thing. I was saying like it almost goes without being said. Like, and I think that's what was implied in that. You're finally everything I've been looking for right now, or you're the one that's bringing me meaning. Okay.
I have another take. So what if he meant, like, she's like, well, time heals all wounds, and he just had been stabbed and like practically died, and she was the one who healed him. So maybe he meant it like, it wasn't time that healed me. It was you, like literally.
It might be literally and figuratively. Literally.
What about both?
Yeah, both.
It could be both.
I agree. I think it could be both. But now we get the part where they get sneak attacked, and they're sitting there talking, and they're, you know, having their conversations. Oh, is it? She's asking him to tell puns. What was
it?
So they're back to bringing finally he's up for, he's like, well, let's change the mood. Give me some bad puns.
What was the apocalypse one? That one was actually pretty good. I forgot what the apocalypse one was. And then she's like, too soon? He's like, no, that's topical.
Yeah. <right. laughs>
But she tells an apocalypse pun. And then they get ambushed, and what's his name? Joel gets a nice hit to the back of the head. And next thing you know, they're found inside the place of the fireflies. When they got ambushed, what did you guys think was happening? Did you guys think it was the fireflies?
I thought it was the military.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought maybe it might be Fedra, you know, like maybe Clint tying up some loose ends type thing. I don't know. Like, no, I didn't think it was the fireflies.
Okay. I just knew it was because of the way the game plays out. I'm curious because I think they did a good job for people that haven't played it to really kind of figure out like, oh man, this is it. They're almost there, and they get, you know, ambushed by someone else. But they end up at the back at the hospital, and who's there? Marlene. I don't know how she says that she made it across and lost almost everybody, yet somehow Joel and Ellie made it across on their own. I don't think she asks about Tess, does she?
No.
I don't think so. No.
They forgot all about
her. I think she assumed, based on the number of people that got killed with her.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think Joel tells, he wakes up at the hospital, and Joel's like, well, no, it wasn't just me. Ellie really fought to make it out there. And it's at this point that we learn that Ellie is automatically ready to get operated on. And we find out that the operation is going to take out part of her brain, which pretty much means she's not going to make it. They're operating on her. And, you know, the scientists are saying that she has a cure, but they have to take it out, and they can create, they can then create a vaccine and get that out to the people. All right. This scene
the way I was reading it, I think this is actually, for me, it sounded like this is what we think is she has. And I didn't think they were going to extrapolate any miracle cure at that point. It sounded like they were literally doing a test and then figuring out if she has some type of antibody that they can maybe reverse engineer or something.
No, but they were going to operate on her. They were going to operate.
I knew they were going to operate on her, but from what it sounded like, though, it was just like, well, this is a shot. This is like kind of like a Hail Mary shot as opposed to like, oh, we know exactly what we're going to do, and this is why we're doing it. But what I felt was important there was like, it was almost like kind of like a Hail Mary approach to this, but maybe I'm wrong. Am I missing that? Or
you're wrong. It's weird because the only reason you have to understand, and I'm not, and most of the time I'm fine. It's just that this part of the game and the movie, it's really important to understand that they thought they had the cure. Okay. They think that they have the cure, and that Ellie's going to have to die for them to make the cure.
Can I give
Mike his answer? Yeah, go ahead, Kelly.
So on this part, when he wakes up, because they headbutted him with the gun, and he like wakes up and they're like, she's already in surgery. And Marlene is explaining to him how it all works, like their reasoning behind why and how she's like immune. And he realizes then that it's not through her blood, because this entire time we've been kind of led up to believe that it's through her blood, like even with Sam, when she cuts herself and like puts it on the bite and is thinking like, it's something with my blood that's like the magic, right? And it doesn't work. And so this is the first point, like, where we realize that it's in her brain. And like, what that means, I immediately knew that they were going to have to kill her, you know?
So, and Ed, I guess I shouldn't say you're wrong, because who knows, you might be right. I just know that everything that I've ever,
if they did, okay, well, go, I'll continue this, but
the reason is because
if they did, it really felt like it was just like, this is what we think we're going to do. And I mean, granted, it sounded like there were science behind it, but it was not for me. It was just, maybe you needed I'd like to get a second opinion, you know, from the doctor situation, but in all honesty, the way it was presented was like, I mean, it was good. It was sound. I got it. But then, it sounded like we think we can do it like this, but maybe I'll watch it one more time just to see it. But it was presented to Joel in a very bad way.
Okay,
and I think and for me, I felt the same way. Okay, so anyways, go ahead.
All right. So and I guess if we go with how you viewed it, what they were saying, it's going to change how. It's going to change the next parts of the show. Okay. So at this point, you know, Joel is, the way I looked at it, Joel's being told that, yes, we have the cure and it's Ellie. And that in order for us to, get this cure out to people and to extract it, she's going to have to die. You didn't know this, but she's going to have to. Now,
and he doesn't either. And they made sure to keep it that way. She told him that.
Oh yeah. Well, yes, she doesn't know it. And Joel now knows it. Now, Marlene doesn't know what Joel and Ellie have been through. For all that Marlene knows is Joel is still that tough guy who dropped her off, and that's it. Get your battery. Remember, when he goes out to the garage, there is that car that's the battery's charging in there. So she made good on her promise.
Yeah,
you know, you got your battery, go get your stuff and get out of here. You got what you came here
for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Ed, if we go by what you're saying, then what you're saying is that possibly they don't know exactly what they're doing. So that means that Ellie might die for no reason at all, just for a simple test.
I don't think that's how I feel about that. No, what I felt was like, it was just a simple, like, you know, them following through on what was promised. Like they didn't know what he was going through or how he felt about Elliot. They, you know, that's fine.
No.
But
you're saying that, and I'm fine with this because it's going to change the way, you know, we're going to talk about the next scene, because what you are saying that they didn't know if it was going to work, right? That this is, you're saying that, well, they kind of had the idea that, look, we're going to test on her.
It sounded like they were down pat with the theoretical. I'm not saying they didn't have their essentially a reason, you know, but it didn't sound like this. We got this. Ellie's the key, but but anyways, go. I don't know if I should really. No, I'm sorry. For me, what I think is important for me, the way it was presented was like, and too bad that we have to kill Ellie right now. For me, I felt like that was a little, that to me is probably what motivated Joel. But anyways, but go ahead. Let's assume, because this is important.
Yeah. And the reason why it's important, the way I look at it, is because your viewpoint, then what Joel did may be okay. Because like he, there was no guarantee that she was going to save anybody. Because what the next thing he does when he goes up full Rambo on that hospital,
taking out everybody. Literally, I'm not joking. I wrote that down. I know we did not talk about that. That's hilarious. I'm like, Joel gets activated. Rambo. Rambo. Okay, sorry, go. Yeah.
So Marlene does know that he's attached to her because she says, "I understand better than you. I was there when she was born. Mm-hmm. Her mother was my best friend. Yeah. You have no idea." Yeah. And so she does have an emotional investment in the entire situation. And she is still ruthless.
Yes. And again, it goes back to the very first scene where she takes out her mom, even though they've grown up together. She's like, "I have a job to do. This is for the better of society." Now, all right. So we're back to if it was assumed that it wasn't going to go through, that it was like they weren't 100% guaranteed, you know, then what Joel did, I can understand, because he's saving somebody with the idea that, no, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. Now, if they are certain that it is going to save humanity, you know, or, you know, within they're medically certain it'll save humanity, then what Joel is doing is he's pretty much damning all of humanity to save his one girl, who's not even his daughter, just somebody that over the span of a year, you know, started to replace as his daughter. So with that said, I want to start with you, Kelly, because Eddie and I have been talking about it both ways. If we look at Ed's, we look at, you know, the other way I look at it. What do you think of this whole scene right here where Joel decides to do whatever he can to save Ellie?
So I will say that when he's going what you call full Rambo and he's like executing everyone along the way, his escorts, like just even the guy who gives up, he still kills him. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's brutal. But as he goes along, he's picking up each person's gun like a video game.
Oh, trust me, I made that point, because that is exactly what you do in the video game.
Yeah, I was like, am I watching a video game right now and not like a show? Because it was like, it was very, very video game. So he's going around killing them. I also thought it was really weird, the music that they played. It was like calming cello.
Oh, it's, by the way, that's the Last of Us theme. I don't know if you guys ever listened to the podcast after I put it up, any chance? I think that's a no.
I did. No.
No, that's fine.
I swear.
You guys are just the talent, you know. No, the reason is because for the last pretty much since the beginning of Geekers Creepers, the song from The Last of Us, that's what I use for some of our for our podcast. So just, you know, if you ever listen to it, you're like, oh, I know that.
It was an interesting choice for just killing everyone. Mm-hmm. It isn't like, I don't know. It wasn't what I expected. And it kind of goes back to like who he is, because he's not like, he's all of a sudden like relaxed in his brutality. Like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. there's something he's just changed.
I think we get to see the real Joel. Like, this is what he's always been doing.
Right.
You know,
I think that's a good point. Well, okay. Go ahead, Rabbi.
Do you guys remember the scene where he goes into the operating room where Ellie, he's about to save her, and the doctor comes out, he's like, "I'm not going to let you take her."
Yeah, the surgeon's like, I won't let you take her. And you know what? There was no hesitation. It was like pop. It was like, it was just like, nope, she's coming with me.
And then he lets the two nurses live. By the way, one of the nurses is a voice actress. I think her name is Laura Bailey. And she is, she's a character in part two. Do you guys realize that when he's walking away, you get to see kind of like the surgeon's kind of just lying there on the ground for a while. You just see his head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It kind of stuck on it for a little bit longer, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That character is going to be very important later on.
Ooh, interesting.
Okay.
Yep.
Good to know.
So it's right after this that Marlene says that Ellie would want to save the world, because she didn't know when she was going into surgery what it was for, like what they were going to have to do. Mm-hmm. She assumed it's something with her blood, but she doesn't really know. And she doesn't think it's going to kill her. We have no indication that Ellie thinks that this is a death mission for her.
Nope.
You know, she talks about what they're going to do after. Nope. Like, she's not.
Yeah. I think it is because, well, you kind of get, well, this is the thing. Cause I think once, maybe we'll get to this at the end, but it feels like Ellie's kind of out of the, a little bit. She's not been given full information by anybody at this point. So,
And, yeah. Okay, so with what Joel's doing here, taking out everybody to save Ellie, all right, so since we get the two perspectives. Now, let me ask, Ed, with the way you viewed it, what do you think of Joel at this point? Is he doing what's right?
I think he's monstrous. He is selfish in a lot of ways. But I sympathize with the way he's thinks about things right now.
Okay.
Every single like things he's tired of things getting out of his control and destroying things that he loves. Every single thing in his life is like that.
Okay.
So yeah, he's far from anybody that's you know, he's a monster. I mean, but it's like, in a lot of ways, he's kind of, I get his motivations for this. And in this situation, in some ways it's selfish, but, I'm at this point, I was still sympathizing with the way he was doing things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, I hate seeing it. Yeah. But anyways, go ahead.
Right. Kelly, what do you think of Joel throughout this whole thing?
All the way
up until where we're at right now, where he's killed everybody. He's about to take out Marlene. Like, what do you think of him as far as like everything he's done to get to this point?
You get the feeling that it's noble, that like he's some hero, right? That he's like saving her life because she didn't authorize to be killed in the process. Like, he's fighting for her. But there's a big shift in that at the end. So at this point, that's the feeling that you have. Like, I'm going to take you to freedom. I'm going to save you. I'm the hero. I couldn't save my daughter, but I can save you.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to say this. Joel is an awful, awful person. Okay. And I'm not even talking about it at the very end. Number one, if Ellie was the, if Ellie's supposed to be the cure for everything, he just killed almost everybody else in the world. Now, we're also assuming that the Fireflies are actually going to use this for good. I mean, they might, if they can find a cure, they might use it for just their own or sell it. Or, you know, I mean, they're not good people either. They're terrorists. Number two.
Or sell it or in their rise to power. That's part of, you have to swear allegiance to our group. And,
yes. But that doesn't make what Joel's doing, what he's doing right. Number two is, he was, as I mentioned before, he was supposed to just deliver a package. He decided that because he lost his daughter, he can now supplement her with this other girl, you know, who, yes, she's quirky, she's fun, and you know, she's, you know, he fell in love with this, you know, with the new daughter, but it's not Sarah. He's what he's doing, he's just supplementing somebody else who, Joel has to be a protector. He has to be a father. He wants to relive something that already got past him. And I say that with giving you this example. If Joel was a good person, let's say it wasn't Ellie. Let's say it was a 30-year-old burly man that he was smuggling across the United States. And it turns out that 30-year-old burly man, you know, they still become friends, but it turns out that, well, you know what? We're going to have to kill him because, you know, to get the cure, the man has a cure. Would Joel have done the same thing? I don't think he would have. I think he would have said, well, that's what happens. I smuggled him across because that person doesn't supplement anything else that he's missing. He is a selfish person.
I think there's something to be said about vulnerability though. And like a, you know, 30 something burly man isn't as vulnerable as a 12-year-old girl.
Yes. But a good person, a good person would have, you know, looked at these two the same way and said, no, you can't kill him either. You know, that's not fair. You know, he doesn't want Ellie to die because if she does, then he now doesn't have her companionship. He doesn't have that daughter.
It's a selfish, like the Ed was saying, it's the selfish.
Yeah.
Part. Yeah.
And everything he's done, everything has been just, you know, it's
you can't say that he's not. He is. He's monstrous. Somewhere is someone that is looking to be that's someone that's more moral, you know, like, and or what he feels is moral, what is, you know, important. And I don't know.
I think what he wants, okay, he wants his family back. That's what he wants. He wants Sarah. He wants his family. He wants it to be like it used to be. And he'll do whatever he can do to get that back. Now that he actually has the opportunity, he doesn't want to lose it. And now again, what would the Fireflies have done with Ellie? Ed's right. Like, you know, it was it really the cure? They say they're sure about it, but I mean, come on. Let's be honest. As soon as she gets there, they're ready to kill her and operate on her.
Look, okay, and that's okay. I mean, so now
what scientist is this? You know, this is like
what's the science?
Doctor, what's your last name? Frankenstein.
But thank you. No, and that's the thing. It's just like things are getting out of his control, and no one's giving him, people are giving him half-assed answers. I'm not arguing that people have good science behind stuff or anything at that point, but I kind of get why Joel did what he did. Mm-hmm. Like, that's no discussion. No, like it's like anything, like, you know, like when we'll take it over from here. Let the adults take over, and it's like adults are talking. And you know what?
Yeah,
screw that. So that's where I'm at. Even at the time when he shoots the doctor, it's mm-hmm. just yeah.
Sorry, and I think Kelly makes another point, which I think an important thing is that Ellie had no choice in this. She went to sleep, not knowing what was going to happen to her. She was saved by Joel, not being told that she had no choice. And as you mentioned, it's really important that scene with the giraffes. She says, "We've made it all the way here. Let's go through with this." And mm-hmm. so at the end of the day, the most logical thing that both parties could have done was to go to her, tell her, "This is what's going to happen. Do you want to go through with this?" You know, and Joel would have to respect what she says. You know, and then the other side hopefully would respect. I don't think the Fireflies would. I think the Fireflies would probably still go through with it. But I think that would be the way to go about this. You have to tell her, are you willing to sacrifice yourselves for all of humanity? Which I think, you know, at this point, Ellie would. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
So can we like talk about the ending now?
Go ahead. Take it away.
So basically, we're talking about when Ellie wakes up in the car, and Joel is bringing her up to speed as to what he said happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we find out is no, he lies to her. So that's where we're at right now, right?
Well, not only does he lie to her, she says, "Do you swear?"
Do you swear?
And then he says, "Well, yes." So he doesn't.
Well, she and like, she. This is the thing. Ellie is connected to Marlene. You could tell that she that was the set. That was like, you know, people. There was a raid, and then people died, and then she goes, "Is Marlene okay?"
Mm-hmm.
Joel kind of dodges that. So that's where we're starting to see like Joel is the monster is definitely coming mm-hmm. out now. He's lying. He lies to Ellie. Yeah.
This is the part where I was like, he knew that he didn't follow her wishes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he lied. Because she made it clear that she wanted to follow through on the mission, that they had gone through all of that. And she wasn't just going to turn around, and that he didn't honor what could have been her most heroic deed, you know, by sacrificing herself to save humanity. He denied her that.
And then
everything they've been through.
What do you think about that, Kelly? Like the fact, like at that point, she didn't know that she would have to die for this. She just thought maybe they would just take her blood. You know, do you think that, what do you think Ellie would have done had she been like told, you know, by the way, you're not going to, this is going to be it for you. You'll be gone at the age of 14.
I mean, while I honestly, like, she should have been fully informed before she could decide anything like that. I think she had a feeling when they were looking at the giraffes. There was just, like, he kind of knew, too. He's like, this is – something could go really wrong. We could turn back. We don't have to go. It might not be what we think it is. And she's like, it doesn't matter. We're going. We're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the ending was
Before we get to that, I want you to bring I'll have you talk all about that in 1 minute. But as they're getting to that ending part, remember, they're walking. They get out of the car. They have to walk. And all Joel is doing is talking about Ellie and comparing her to Sarah and how saying her and Sarah would be good friends. He's got that smile on his face like, hey, I finally won. I've got what I want. He's so happy. He's like, he really is happier than you've seen him in the entire show.
Unhinged.
Yes.
He seems a little unhinged.
Yes, he does. And to the point where you're just like, I think even in the game, you can kind of see him like running around and skipping. And it's like, dude, you are an awful human being. Look, you are.
He like holds the key, that power is like, it does something for him. Like, what is it?
Well, I think he finally got what he wanted, which was, again, the fact that he's sitting there comparing his one daughter to this new daughter and saying how they'd be great friends. It does seem a little unhinged. It does seem like now it's at first you're like, oh, that's kind of sweet. But then you're like, no, that's really weird, especially after everything you've done. But now they get to the outside of Wyoming. And go ahead, Kelly, you were going to say about this part?
Oh, well, she just said, everything you told me about the fireflies was true, right? And he said, yeah. And she said, you swear, because she has a feeling that he's lying. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's just like he undermines all the trust that they've been building together because he feels like he stole something from her. Mm-hmm. I feel like he knows, and that's why he lied.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it ends right there, right? The show just ends right there? Okay.
Right.
So this game, when it first came out, I believe that's also exactly where it ended. We were never told we were going to get a part two. You have to remember at this point, imagine playing this, you know, like what you just saw and thinking that's it. That's how it ends. That is it. Because we were never, it was always believed in this video game, not always, but for the longest time it was believed that there would never be a need for a second part because it would ruin this story. Like a second one, because this story was like, it ended in such a way that you're just like, oh my God, and you have to play all these parts. You have to play him taking out everybody at the hospital. You have to play as him doing all these things that you don't want to do. And then it ends with that. And you're just like, that's the end of the story. That's it. And so with this, it ended the same way. What did you guys think of this ending? Kelly, I'll start with you.
It left me feeling sad for the relationship because I feel like we were invested in them, like their growth together from the beginning when they didn't even like each other, didn't talk, didn't trust each other, to a place where they worked well together as a team, to morphing into like almost a familial relationship where they cared about each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the evolution of the relationship was something that I think the viewer got invested in. And at the end of it, to have it kind of like, I don't know, like a pin put in it, like, hold on, it's not what you think.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it was sad. I was like, don't lie. Don't lie to her.
All right, Ed, what did you think of the ending of this episode?
Well, it was very, it's just like, this feels like it's something that's going to come back to haunt Joel, just as anything like this usually does. And he's going to have to, he has so much sin to bury, you know, mm-hmm. sin to that he has to, so much sin to like atone for that, you know, it's going to be, this is going to be rough. And you got to feel it. Like you said, you had a feeling Ellie already knows that he's probably lying, but she's willing to, still willing to tag along with him. At the tail end, I was just like, I'm like, Joel is the scariest monster because I think I completely. I feel like I understand where he's coming from, and that's kind of scary.
Yeah. I think you're supposed to. And that's why a lot of people have always considered him like he's the hero of the game. You know, they've considered the hero.
He's a true, like almost an anti-hero.
Yeah.
Like the tip of the top apex anti-hero, you could say at this point.
So I'll start with you with this one, Ed. What did you rate this episode?
I'm going to give it a 9. Mm-hmm. It was definitely something where I was it kept me engaged with the whole series still. So I'm still impressed with it, and it was a good way to end the series. If you want to keep me going, but
I honestly kind of wish they won't do the next part two. I really wish they wouldn't, especially because that's like one of my favorite games. I think it's going to be much more difficult putting that on the screen. Maybe if Geekers Creep is still around, we'll talk about it then. But Kelly, what did you think of this? What did you rate this episode?
I give this episode an 8 out of 10. Mm-hmm. I love the flashback scene of the mom because we needed it. We mm-hmm. needed to know the origin of her being immune. So really appreciated that. And this character development in Joel has been really interesting throughout this episode. So 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. I'm agreeing with Ed. I'm going to go with the 9 out of 10 on this one. And then finally, let's talk about what we think of the What did you guys think about The Last of Us, the show, the whole story? Start with you, Kelly. What would you say? Give me a ranking. What would you say this show, if you were somebody were to ask, should I watch this? Yes or no? Give them a ranking.
Oh, geez. Should you watch the show? Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
Rating out of like a 10 being the best show I've ever seen. It's a 9. Okay. Like, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure what show I would give a 10, but I highly recommend this. Anyone that's watching it, I was like, oh my gosh, don't you love it? They're like, yeah. I mean, everybody that watches it loves it. So, yeah, for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Ed?
I think I'm close. I'm probably just going to, I'll say an 8.5 out of 10. Albeit there were some, I guess there were just some, let's just say there were some episodes I wish were maybe a little bit longer. There's a little more things I'd like them to develop, but it might be tough for them to probably encapsulate what the whole video game was all about. So 8.5 for me, and definitely recommend it. I've been talking to some other listeners that have been asking me about it. So
that's awesome. You guys are sitting there talking. Yeah. You guys got fans.
I don't know if you can pluralize it, but yeah.
I'll give it a 9 out of 10. I really liked it. There are some misses, like Ed said. One is I kind of wish they would add some more of the clickers or the the infected. I was kind of hoping for a few more of those.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do it next season, but also at the same time, that could be, what do they say, a double-edged sword? Because if they add too many, it might turn it more into like a video game, which I just a little bit more, you know, just a little bit more seasoning. And then the Kathleen storyline was, that dragged it out a bit, but I think we kind of needed that to build up the, Henry and Sam's story. So yeah. Maybe it was kind of necessary. Henry and Sam's story was really good. So I would say 9 out of 10. For part two, there's some things that, you know, that are going to be really cool if we get that anytime soon. There's a character called the Rat King, which
I think they have they confirmed it though. One's being replaced. So they've it looks like it's going to be going on for part two.
Yeah, that one. I won't say anything as far as like any of the plot points, but it does get that one does get dark, and I don't know how they're going to implement or this story. I could see how they could put it into a TV series, because it kind of it follows like a lot of other shows that I've seen. Or has anybody ever seen The Road, the movie?
I read the book.
Yes, Cormac McCarthy's. Yes, I read the book too. One of my favorite authors is Cormac McCarthy. Great book. This game always reminded me of The Road, so I did like it. And so, have you read any other Cormac McCarthy, Kelly?
There's Blood Meridian, but no.
You haven't read that one, or have you?
No, it was on my list. I don't think I've ever read it.
All right. So it's funny that you brought up Blood Meridian. Do you know about it?
I used to, but it's been so long.
Okay. I've always compared, not always, but since this came out, The Road was always Last of Us Part 1. Blood Meridian is The Last of Us Part 2. And for anybody that knows this, it is a intense story that is not for everyone. It's
apocalyptic, so similar to this. Yeah.
But it's really, Blood Meridian is definitely reminds of the second one. It's a great book, though, for anybody that want, any listeners out there, definitely check that one out. But all right, guys, I think that's it. This is the end of our.
How about just in general, like everybody's performance, the actors' performances. I guess my question for you is, how's Pedro Pascal as Joel? And how has Bella been for as Ellie for you?
As far as Pedro Pascal, I like his performance in the show better than I like the performance in the game. The game performance was fantastic. It was Troy Baker. Fantastic. He was the character that played David's right-hand man, James. But still, I liked his better. As far as Ellie's, I actually liked Ashley Johnson's performance a good amount better than what's her name? Bella Ramsey. Is that her name?
Bella Ramsey. Yep.
If you ever get a chance, just check out some of the side by side on the online. She delivers her performance is delivered really well in the game to the point where it caught me off guard when she would deliver the same lines. The video game performance is, in my opinion, much better. I'm not saying she's a bad actress. It's just that Ellie, I was so used to the way she would deliver her lines. But both of them, I thought were fantastic in the show. But again, we're comparing this game itself was top notch. It's like it's a AAA game. With like they paid good money for good voice actors. They paid good money for screen capture. So it was a lot of times like watching a movie in and of itself.
Okay. Interesting. So far, I mean, I guess I'm a Pedro Pascal the fan club, I guess.
Yeah, he's everywhere all of a sudden.
That's the thing is I don't know anything else that Bella has really been in. Well, I know she had a kind of like pivotal part in Game of Thrones. I never watched it, so I couldn't.
She was really good at Game of Thrones. She was really good. But yeah, she had a little scene in there, or a few scenes.
But I'm enjoying. I'll say this. I'm definitely so far. I think The Last of Us has been better than season 3 of The Mandalorian, but
don't even get me started on that one. That one I'm starting to give up on that one.
It's two in, Rob. Come on, buddy.
That's like what was that other show we were talking about where I was just like, I'm done, I'm not gonna watch it anymore. The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Yeah. That was I didn't even finish the first I don't think I finished the first episode.
Me neither. I kept falling asleep.
I'm like, I can't do this.
That's what I put on before nap time.
I think we're keeping Kelly away.
She's sorry. Like she just disconnects. All right, guys, thank you so much. I think after this we got to go back to our regular scheduled Geekers Creepers program now, and we'll definitely talk about the balloon, even though it's not at this point it's no longer the hot topic.
All right. Well, can I just say it has been super fun reviewing The Last of Us Season 1. I'm very excited and looking forward to season two and what it brings. I've been loving the show so far. So thanks to all of the geeky and creepy listeners out there for hanging out with us and enjoying the review with us. We appreciate and love you guys. And as always, live, laugh, and creep.
Awesome. Ed, any send-offs for you?
No, as always, a pleasure reviewing this. It's been a lot of fun reviewing this guy with you, with this show with you guys. It's been definitely this last episode had a lot of insights. So I'm excited about season two.
All right, guys, and everyone out there listening, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. You can always follow us on Twitter at Geekers Creepers, and you can always email us at Geekers Creepers Cast. That's geekerscreeperscast@gmail.com. We will be at this point going back to our regular.
Should we reward our first fan mail email for anybody?
I did get one in the past. No, nowadays I did get some in the past. Nowadays I just get
no one wanted to do the sharper pills. No one wanted to do my sharper image input. Come on, guys. I'm lonely. I feel neglected in Geekers Creepers world.
That'll definitely get him to send us emails.
Get rid of that.
Don't do it.
Get rid of that.
Drop that. He's dead weight.
All right. Guys, thank you so much. And until next time, we wish you all the best in life, love, and gaming.
Good night, everybody.